serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a chance to complete a story we first told you about a couple weeks ago through the voice of Al Skerritt, who passed away October 6th at the age of 97. But the final year of Al's life was highlighted by a newfound friendship with the sailor whose life he had saved on the aircraft carrier Bunker Hill on May 11th, 1945. And we're hearing from that sailor today, 94-year-old Norm Lastman of Chicago, Illinois, who for decades didn't know exactly what had happened to him on the ship or who had saved his life. His journey of discovery, his cracking open of that chapter in his history, involved a best-selling book by Max Kennedy, the youngest son of Robert F. Kennedy, and it also was spurred on and accelerated by Norm's involvement with Honor Flight Chicago, part of the National Honor Flight Network dedicated to taking veterans free of charge to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. Just this last week, I got to see a huge red, white, and blue crowd welcome home 67 World War II and Korean War veterans who enjoyed that experience with Central Valley Honor Flight, where I live here in California. It really never, never gets old. Goosebumps every single time. And I know that's the case in the Windy City, too, where Honor Flight Chicago co-founder Mary Pettinato is the one who connected me to you, Norm. Maybe you can share with us now about Honor Flight Chicago and what it has meant to you.
Honor Flight opened so many doors for me, and I actually fell in love with the organization and the people. And I just go wherever they went. They say something to do with Honor Flights, and most of my talking turns from what I'm telling you in the military, I switch to Honor Flights and tell them what it does.
Well, and that's, I want to know what it was about that experience that struck you to that degree. Can you remember that
and the things
that happened and what you experienced?
All the things were new to me. I'd never been in Washington, D.C. before. The World War II Memorial is utterly phenomenal. I was there, and I went through the whole procedure. They take the pictures and everything else. The biggest thrill I got was when I landed at Midway Airport, and I couldn't figure out the water show that the fire department shoots over each plane. When I'm coming off, and I'm coming out of the runway, and I hear all this music and people, I says, geez, it must be the President of the United States going to be there. I knew what I was doing, and when I saw all of that, those 3,000 people down there were applauding me and other veterans are aboard. I think we had about 105, 110 guys aboard the plane.
How'd that make you feel?
I couldn't even put it in writing. It's the greatest single feeling I've ever had in my life. When I stood there and I heard the noise and I heard the bands playing and I saw the flags waving, it made like a ton of bricks in my heart.
Beautiful.
I says, I am so proud to be an American.
Well, tell me how this happened. What was it that triggered the realization that Al Skerritt out in Seattle was the sailor who had saved your life? How did you figure that out?
I'm glad you brought that up. I've got a neighbor two doors down who's a World War II buff. Right now he's about 65 years old, and he took a liking to me. And he loved to come talk to me about World War II. And I didn't mind talking to him, and I'm telling him a lot of things that I just told you. He also is a smartphone individual. He's on that. He talks to it all the time, and it talks back to him and tells him things. He also is a Chicago White Sox fan, and I mean a real fan. Like, he won't go to a Cub game, but he'll watch the Sox lose. But that's okay. That's what he loves, the White Sox. He used to come over here, and we'd sit and talk. And I'd show him pictures, what I had, and I'd tell him stories. And he says, you know what? And I told him what I just told you about Al Skerritt. I just found out, like, the guy who saved me. He says, wait a while. The guy's in Seattle. I'm there next week to a game. Him and his wife go to 3-4 Sox games throughout the country where the Sox are playing, and they make a weekend out of it. He went to Seattle, and if you should see the movie of Al and I, he is in the movie with me. And I'll back it up for a minute. And when I told him that, he went to Seattle. He looked up on his smartphone, and he talked to the family members of Al Skerritt. He says, and he comes back, and he says, Norm, Al Skerritt is still alive. I thought he was dead. He's still alive. I've got his phone number. So I called Barrett, and he almost fell off the chair when I talked to him. I says, "You're talking to Norm Lamb, didn't know who I was." I says, "I'm the guy you carried out of the engine room." And he almost fell off the chair. He says, "I don't believe it." And we talked to each other at least a dozen times until he died. And I talked to his daughter and his son, and I never got to see him.
So in reading the book, you see the account of Al Skerritt saving someone from the engine room. And you said, "That's got to be me."
That'd be me.
Couldn't have been anyone else.
No, there was nobody else.
So your friend goes to a White Sox game. He's in Seattle. He looks up Al Skerritt. You make the connection. You guys talk on the phone.
And that's how I got to Al Skerritt, is through this day.
You never did get to meet him in person, but you
did get
to see his face.
I
did a Skype together.
I didn't know him then, and I don't know him now personally. I only know his voice.
But you did get to see his face on Skype.
On Skype. I looked at him, and just as while we were on Skype, Max Kennedy flew in from Los Angeles and sat down next to him. I nearly died.
Well, what was it like for you to see the face man who saved you?
I was awestruck because he was such a smiling guy at 97 years old. He had all his wits. He had everything except his hearing was bad. But he raised his volume of his, and I could talk to him.
I mean, I'm sure when the book came out, and you read the book, and your memory started flooding back, that was exciting. But you couldn't have imagined that you would actually get a chance to talk to and see the face of the guy who saved you.
In fact, him and I got the two letters. You wrote each other two letters, and I got the two letters here that he wrote me.
Is that a little hard for you to believe that all of this has happened all years?
You're making me dig up. Now it's hard to choke me up a little bit. It's hard to believe it all.
Yeah, how do you explain the fact that this has happened for you?
I can't explain it. I can't explain it. It's the feeling of how proud I was, and I'm sorry I was that I never knew him. He must have been a great guy. I just now lost all the words that I want to say. I'm emotional right now, knowing where it's going from here. I've told this story to other people, to Al and other people. But now I know it's going to go on the air somewhere. It's going to go out in conjunction with you were out to see Al, and that's the one thing I feel sorry that I never had the opportunity to shake. I saw him on Skype, but I did not shake hands with him.
Well, I'll tell you, I can say from the time I spent with him in Seattle that just talking to you and getting your letters and seeing you on Skype and having all that come back around 72 years later, just meant the world to him. And just to know that you are still alive and to hear about the life that you've had, I know it was extremely gratifying and fulfilling for him to have that knowledge in his final year of life.
Yeah. It's starting to sink in to me, and I'll be cherishing more from here on in.
What's been the most amazing element of all of this, Norm, from the book to Honor Flight to getting to know Al? What has this done for you, and what still is hard for you to fathom now?
I would say, point blank, it's made me look at that flag and says, I am glad I fought for it. I didn't wish a war on us, nobody like that. But if I had to, this country is the greatest country in the world.
And you mentioned your involvement with Honor Flight Chicago, that you go around giving a lot of speeches, even as you approach your 95th birthday.
Wherever I get a chance to go do something for Honor Flights, whether it raise money or speak or be there, I can't do it up for Honor Flights.
Why do you do that? Why is that so important?
It's something I love. I think that's what I have to line them up. Max Kennedy, Honor Flights, the Navy. I'm sorry a war went through that I went through. But I have no regrets. I'm grateful that I'm able to restore the memories that I thought I had lost. I think I've had it all. I'm ready anytime the good Lord wants. And not one thing is great. I want to live forever. But truthfully, what I think doesn't bother me is I wish for what the world is happening today is something that we didn't fight for. We fought to stop that, and it's all happening all over again. I think that bothers me more than anything. You have to have a family, a mother and a father and sisters and brothers, and be raised in a home. I was raised in a home where there was no food, but I remember we didn't sit at the table until my dad sat down at the table. Even though he didn't have a job, he was out looking for a job. The family together. When there's family, something grows out of a family. And that's what's wrong in the world. There's no family anymore.
Well, in light of that, when you think about what you fought for, is there something that you would say you're most proud of?
There's two stripes and the ball on my sleeve and my sailor hat and sailing under the bridge, the Oakland Bay Bridge, and people throwing silver coins at us as we stood at attention on the flight deck are the fond memories have. I am proud to be in the Navy, and I would do it again tomorrow if I had to do it over again.
And I guess I've got to ask you this, too. Living all these years, the last 72 years, knowing how close you came to not surviving May 11th of 1945, did that change your perspective? Did that change the way that you approached life, knowing how close you came to dying?
It was automatic. Fighting the war and all that, 72 years, I didn't look at it from 72 years or whatever I was in. I've had parents who have brought their children to my house to talk to me, and I says, if you go get an education, but if you can't get an education, join the military, stay in it for 20 years, get the pension, come out, and you can start a new career. If your kid does that at 18 years old, today's world is better off.
How many kids and grandkids do you have, Norm?
I just became a great-grandfather. He's 6 months old. I have 3 children and 4 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild.
You ever think that right there, the ones you just listed, that's 8 people who would have never been born if Al Skerritt didn't pull you out of that engine room?
I told that to Al. I said, if it wasn't for you, I would have never been here to have the family that I got, that I told him about my family. And it's true. I thought of that many times. If it wasn't for that, for Al, I would not be here at all, and I wouldn't be able to have it. And I love my kids. I have 1 daughter who lives in Austin, Texas, very successful, a son who's a very successful in real estate in Boca Raton, and then I have a special needs child. He's now 63 years old, and he lives in Florida where his older brother is his guardian down there, and he lives down there in Boca Raton. God's given me everything that I need. We make you work harder for the mentally handicapped and those and the special needs children. So having a child that maybe was blessed for me to have one.
Amen. Well, Norm, I want to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us a story that I think raises all our eyebrows, and we say, wow, look at the timing, the way you got to know Al.
I am proud to be an American. If I would do it over again, I'd want to fight for this country. This country is worth fighting for. That's all I can tell you.
Well, I guess I can ask you this, my final question.
Don't ask me anything you want.
Well, let me ask you about Al. I was just with him a few weeks ago. Now he's gone, and you got to know him just in time while he was still here.
That is something that I learned from the lady I live with. She walks with God well on earth, and I got to tell you, she taught me how to be with God. Now, she's Catholic, and I'm Jewish. I'll be very frank with you. And I go to Mass with her, and I don't kneel, but I go to Mass. The priests come down and shake my hand and said shalom to me. They all know I'm Jewish, and I'm very proud of being a Jew.
So you're saying you think God orchestrated your opportunity to meet
Al? Absolutely. Without God, there is nobody. And we do it God's way, and it'll be right. She goes and lights a candle for Al already.
Well, that was my question. How should Al be remembered?
I would say as a God-fearing man. He loved God, and he loved his country, and he fought for his country. Love is where it's all at. And the bottom line is when you give love and get love, you're a rich man. Not how much money you got in the bank. You can't take that with you. That's how I feel. I ain't got no money, but I got a lot of love.
I know the feeling, Norm. I know the feeling.
But, you know, you sum it up, that's what life is all about. I don't know how much money you got. You can't take it with you, but you can sure take God with you. She taught me how to love God the way you're supposed to love him.
Well, and I know she loves you, and I think we can all tell how Norm Lastman feels about his wife, Carol. I know this wasn't as linear a process as usual here on Hometown Heroes, but I trust you followed that bouncing ball and got a glimpse not just of what Norm went through, but also this incredible journey he's been on recently and how it has energized him to reach out and impact lives around him. If you haven't seen that television piece on Norm and Al Skerritt from WGN, I know I've mentioned it a couple times, but it is a must-see. You'll find it linked at hometownheroesradio.com and the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. I'm so thankful I had the opportunity to sit down with Al Skerritt before it was too late. I know how much Norm meant to him, and I don't think any of us would be able to miss today just how fondly Norm will remember Al and how he will continue to honor his legacy. That's the program for today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.